T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is Sports Radio WEI, hour number 2 of Late Night right here. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And these abbreviated editions, these two-hour editions following Red Sox review, now, they're okay. They're fine. But tomorrow, I'm excited. We'll have a full 4 hours. I'm working on a couple of pretty good guests. We'll see. I'm back again tomorrow night for 4 hours, and then Saturday morning for 2 hours alongside Mustard and Johnson. So I'll be with Craig Mustard. Larry Johnson is still out. So I'm looking forward to that. So between either Saturday morning or tomorrow night, we'll have a pretty significant guest. I'm not going to drop any names right now because I don't want to jinx it, but I think it's going to be Saturday morning. It's a more appealing time. But tomorrow night, we will have Josue Pavone from WEI.com calling in live from Indiana. He'll be going down there to cover the Celtics-Pacers Game 3. Tonight, he was at the Garden, and he had an opportunity to talk to Kyrie Irving.
Josue Pavone, WEI.com, CLNS Media. Kyrie Irving, just talk about the progression you've seen from this team in terms of late game execution. You saw it done on both ends of the floor tonight against the Pacers. Just speak about that and what you've seen throughout the past few months up until now.
There's a different energy in the building when we step in, because we know that we got to do everything it takes to win. And, you know, it's just so much you don't have to worry about anymore, you know, distract yourself for. You know, when I say that, give me an example, just to always revert back to just, you don't have to score a bunch of points to make an impact on the game. And, you know, we have a lot of talented players, and now we're in the postseason, and we got to do the little things, screen for each other, make sure we're very communicative on the defensive end, make sure we're there, and, you know, that's what's going to get you to the next level. But we've shown that, and these guys on this team have shown that they can win at home, and we've shown it as well, and now it's about going on the road and doing the same thing and playing with an intensity that's needed to get a big-time win on the road. So that's where the big test comes. You know, here we got our families, we got everybody here supporting us, rooting us on, and now when we go into Indiana, now it's the total opposite where, you know, it's just us in the trenches where, you know, we're out there and we really got to focus in. So I'm looking forward to that challenge for us, and now it's about going on the road and really showing, you know, who we are as a team on the road in the playoffs.
So that'll be interesting. And, you know, Kyrie, I'll give him credit for one thing. For the better part of the second half of the season, he talked a lot about the playoffs, and he talked a lot about that's when it's really going to count, that's when you can judge us, that's when you can judge me, and he seemed almost impatient. He was impatiently waiting for the playoffs to come, and I still don't believe that the Celtics have flipped any sort of a real switch here. I really don't, and I won't believe that until I see their offense play at a different level than it is right now. But clearly, they have flipped a defensive switch, and I cannot believe I'm uttering these words. They've flipped that defensive switch, and they've been led by Kyrie Irving on the defensive end. Offensively, he's been great. He's been special. He has been as advertised on the offensive end. But Kyrie was kind of strange tonight in the postgame. So that answer that he just gave to Josue was well thought out. And if you listen to it again, you know, he used words to describe the team like us and we. And if you're a Celtics fan looking to read the tea leaves as far as what his future is, you would leave, you know, after hearing that, you would feel optimistic that, you know, Kyrie considers himself a member of the Celtics for the long term, because he references, you know, growth and next year and we and us. And, you know, that's generally a good way to sort of tell where somebody's mind is at, where their head is at. But then later on, he went to the podium and he did sort of the general press conference from the podium. And if you're a Celtics fan looking to read the tea leaves, and hopefully we'll have some of this sound coming up a little bit later, but he referenced the Garden as the TD. And my jaw dropped. I have never once heard that building called the TD. You know, and he said it like it was normal. He said, yeah, we're here at the TD. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you talking about? Everybody to a man calls it the Garden. Some people call it the TD Garden. And to me, it's almost like he had a brain fart and didn't realize where he was playing. He didn't realize that, you know, he's at home right now. So maybe his mind was in New York. Maybe his mind was in Cleveland. But for whatever reason, at that point, he seemed almost disconnected. But I wonder this. You know, there was a little spat today, and it was tough to see. And I don't believe it was on the NBC Sports Boston broadcast. I could be wrong. But I know the TNT broadcast had a little dust-up between Kyrie Irving and Brad Stevens at the end of the third quarter. The Celtics had a couple of defensive miscues, and they verbally got into it a little bit. And it was the first time we've seen those two sort of get into it in a couple of months. Remember, it was back in January when the Celtics were in Orlando. They had an opportunity to win the game on the final play of the game. The play was not called for Kyrie Irving. The play was broken anyways, but Kyrie was pissed after the game. He went right up to his head coach at center court in front of the fans, in front of the cameras, in front of microphones, and he publicly chastised him. He publicly called him out. And that was really in the thick, the beginning of the thick of things of the Kyrie Irving might not be here for the long-term rumors. Right, because at that point it was obvious he had very little respect for his head coach. And he didn't care that he had all these younger teammates that were looking to him for leadership, looking to him for guidance. He didn't care. He was being a bad teammate at that point. He was being a bad leader at that point. Now, Kyrie's come a long way since then. He absolutely has. And to the point where about a week ago, he's talking about how he and Brad are on the same page and it's made his life a lot easier. And the two of them are very, kumbaya these days. You know, they've really worked well together these days. But at this point, when you look at the relationship between these two guys and you look at where they were and where they are, I still can't put my finger on it. I still really can't identify in my own mind if I think that Kyrie Irving wants to come back here next year. I would like to believe that at the end of the day, he is not going to be able to turn down the extra money. The extra money is going to play a significant factor in Kyrie's decision. But because we've seen Kyrie Irving back up his talk, and I know that there's a lot of Celtics fans who have talked to you guys all season long, there's been a particular group of Celtics fans, and it's not just the crazies on Twitter. You know, if we go back about 6 weeks, I had Bob Ryan on this program, and you know, nobody is more respected in the Boston media or in the national media when it comes to the National Basketball Association and opinions than Bob Ryan. His voice matters. His opinion means something. Bob Ryan is a legend when it comes to covering the NBA. And Bob Ryan told me to a man right here on these airwaves that he would drive Kyrie to the airport in the offseason. He does not want him here for the long term with the Celtics. He just doesn't think that he is a good leader for this basketball team. He's not worth the max contract. He's not worth the risk. And ultimately, he's going to wind up not being happy here anyways, so why get into bed with a guy like Kyrie Irving? That's what Bob said. And I feel like at the time when he said that, there was a huge percentage of Celtics fans that agreed with him. There was a large percentage of Celtics fans that said, you know what? This team, they can re-sign Terry Rozier. They can go. They can pick up Isaiah Thomas, you know, because they won't have any cap space. So they'll have to get creative with what they do. Even if you lose Kyrie Irving, you don't get his money. You can't reallocate his max contract to somebody else because the Celtics, they're over the cap. So what would happen, essentially, if Kyrie Irving goes to New York or if he goes to the Lakers and hooks back up with LeBron James, what happens is, one of the seven deadly sins, essentially, for an NBA general manager. It is suicide for an NBA general manager to lose a top 10 player, an elite level player, to lose a guy like that, and eventually, not get anything in return for him. That's the problem. You literally cannot get anything in return for Kyrie Irving at that situation. He's going to walk as a free agent. You get nothing in return. You don't get to use that cap money. You don't get to spend that money somewhere else. The Celtics are over the cap, so you let a top 10 player go, a top 15 player go. You get nothing in return, and you get zero cap relief. It is the worst case scenario, and any other general manager in the NBA, that's a fireable offense. The only reason why it won't be a fireable offense here in Boston is because there's this great relationship between Wick Grosbeck, Steve Pagliuca, Danny Ainge, and Brad Stevens, to the point where there's a serious lack of accountability when it comes to Danny Ainge and his job performance and Brad Stevens and his job performance. That's a different show for a different day in the offseason. But I feel like in other markets with other teams, you've got a natural and healthy sense of fear if you're an NBA general manager, if you're an NBA head coach. Because you fear that you're going to lose your job. You fear that if you make a mistake, your job is in jeopardy. And that fear is what drives so many of these NBA general managers and NBA head coaches. You want to keep your job. You're a very well-paid person in that position. It is one of the most high-profile jobs in the league to be a general manager or a president of basketball operations or a head coach. But here, There is no fear. Brad Stevens does not fear for his job. Danny Ainge does not fear for his job. To the point where even if the Celtics were to lose Kyrie Irving in the offseason and he were to go sign with the Knicks and the Celtics get nothing back in return for him, and because they're over the cap anyways, they can't spend that money elsewhere. That is your worst case scenario. And if that happens, nothing's going to happen to Danny Ainge. The Celtics, they will suffer on the court. The Celtics won't have the same talent level that they have on the court this year. They will absolutely take a step back. But I wonder if Celtics fans have changed their tune, if Celtics fans have changed their mind. And that's the sort of question when it comes to Kyrie Irving. 6-8 weeks ago, a huge percentage of Celtics fans, whether it was on Twitter, whether it was here on the radio, this station, the other station, Celtics fans were ready to get rid of Kyrie Irving. They were ready to see him walk. They wanted him. They were daring him to go sign with the Knicks. Now I feel like that started to change because Celtics fans for the first time are seeing what Kyrie Irving can be. They're seeing what he is in the playoffs. And the fact is, there are not many players in the NBA that are capable of carrying a basketball team through the NBA playoffs. Kyrie Irving appears to be one of them. He has backed up his words. He said that he'll be a different player in the playoffs. He said, just wait till we get there. And it's one thing for Kyrie Irving to go out and score 37 points. It's another thing entirely for Kyrie Irving to go out there and score 37 points while leading his team on the defensive end. So I was somebody that I wasn't completely sold on the idea of Kyrie Irving being this team's transformative talent, their number one guy, the leader that's going to take them to the promised land. Doesn't mean I didn't want him here, but it did mean that I thought that he absolutely needed somebody else. He needed his Ray Allen to Kevin Garnett. He needed his Paul Pierce to Ray Allen. He needed somebody else that had more of an alpha mentality. And that's why I wasn't completely sold on the Anthony Davis deal, because I don't think that Anthony Davis is that alpha. But maybe Kyrie Irving is just smarter than we give him credit for. And maybe he knows his body much better than we know his body. And maybe he sort of takes his time and piecemeals his way through the regular season because he knows what a grind the playoffs can be. He knows his knee, 2 knee surgeries in the last year, 3 in his NBA career. Maybe we should have given Kyrie the benefit of the doubt before we pass judgment on Kyrie Irving. So we'll talk about that, and I do want to get to the Robert Kraft stuff as well, as he just had a bananas type of day. Tape's going to get released. Tape's not going to get released. Tape's going to get released. Alex Reamer, he wrote about it on WEI.com today. He actually compared what Robert Kraft is going through to what Donald Sterling went through with the Clippers a couple of years ago. I've got an opinion on that, and I just think it's a dangerous, dangerous place for Robert Kraft to be. And if we're going to use Donald Sterling as the example, what happened to Donald Sterling? He owned that team for 30-some-odd years. Doesn't own it anymore. So if we're really going to compare Robert Kraft to Donald Sterling, is there a worst-case scenario in play where if that video evidence comes out, where the embarrassment of it all forces Robert Kraft to potentially sell the New England Patriots? We'll talk about that and more with you guys when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI. Bronx. The Red Sox, they wrapped up in the Bronx today. The Yankees, they took both games in the series by completing a 5-3 comeback win. The dagger, that came when Brett Gardner smacked a grand slam off Ryan Brazier. Up next for the Sox, they'll start a 3-game series with the Rays. The Bruins, they tied their series with the Toronto Maple Leafs at 2 games apiece with a 6-4 win on the road. David Pastrnak, he scored twice for the Bees. Game 5 will be at the Garden on Friday night at 7 o'clock. The Celtics, they took Game 2 against the Pacers, 99-91, your final score at the Garden tonight. Kyrie Irving, he led all scorers with 37 points. Jason Tatum, 26. Gordon Hayward, 13 points for the Celtics. Up next for the Celtics, Game 3 in Indy on Friday night at 8:30. And the Patriots, their 2019 schedule that was announced today. The Patriots, they will raise their newest championship banner on September 8th in front of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Very stressful day, though, for Patriots owner Robert Kraft, as the Florida Attorney General announced today that he would be releasing the video that is allegedly proof that Kraft solicited prostitution, not once, but twice, inside of 18 hours. However, during an emergency hearing today, Circuit Court Judge Joseph Marks, he barred the release of any video from the Orchids of Asia Day Spa. The judge is supposed to rule on April 29th on whether releasing the video violates Robert Kraft's right to privacy. My name is Patrick Gilroy, and that is what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Kyrie, we've seen you have the type of game you had tonight against the Celtics. What was it like to have that type of game for the Boston Celtics?
It's pretty peaceful. You know, I think that, you know, I'm just happy to be able to be part of a lineage of great players that have put on some unbelievable performances, you know, here in the TD as well as in the Old Garden. And, you know, it's really special to know that, you know, the fans here, they're rooting us on, and, you know, they want everything to be perfect. And, you know, it's just not the reality of the game, but we do our best to go out there and really lay it all on the line. And, you know, we throw ourselves into the game and we hope for some great results. So just got to have some just honest resolve. But, like, it felt good. It felt good to be here in this position, playing in this arena. You know, it's just been a long journey. From having those two knee surgeries and watching the team last year and finally getting a chance to lace them up for the Boston Celtics in the NBA playoffs, it's nothing like it.
So again, trying to read the tea leaves and decipher what his plans are, it's tough to do. I mean, I've never heard an athlete, a media member, anybody ever reference the building as the TD. What is that? Maybe it's an inside thing with the team, but even in the days that I spent in and around the team, much more so than I am right now. Back in those days, nobody ever called it the TD. We'll ask Josue Pavone tomorrow night. He's a young guy, doesn't have a family, so he spends his days right now at practice every day, grinding it out, doing what young reporters do. So I'll be curious to hear from Josue if anybody actually calls the building the TD. And maybe I'm reading too much into it. You know, because at the end of that cut, he did say that, you know, it's incredible to lace him up and to play here for the Boston Celtics in the playoffs. And that, again, it's an optimistic look at things, but maybe it does mean something to him. But I can totally see a scenario in play where, you know, Kyrie comes back to that quote when he decides to sign with the Knicks and he says, you know, I got my opportunity. I laced him up. I got to play for a legendary franchise, but now I want to move on and play in my hometown for the New York Knicks. Kyrie's got this masterful way of sort of doing away with all his own sins. You know, he can justify anything to himself. So there will be justification in his mind if he does decide to pack up and leave here. Again, that is a fireable offense for any other general manager in the National Basketball Association. To lose a guy with the talent level of a Kyrie Irving and get nothing in return for him. Not having your finger on the pulse of what your premier free agent is going to do. Danny Ainge, at this stage in the game, he should know. Maybe he does know. Maybe I'm way off base here. Maybe Danny already knows exactly what Kyrie is going to do. Maybe he knows that Kyrie is going to stick around, and maybe he knows that Kyrie likes to play coy with the media, likes to have fun, but he's got Kyrie's sort of commitment that he's going to stick around. And if that's the case, then Danny, bravo. When I listen to other NBA pundits around the league, whether it's a Colin Cowherd, whether it's a Brian Windhorst, whether it's a Jalen Rose, they've all suggested in recent days that Kyrie Irving is going to New York. They've all suggested that there are loud enough whispers around the league that he's going there. I would like to believe that these guys are just pumping their own tires to get clicks and get people to watch their low-rated shows. And I think that there's certainly an element of that to what they're saying, because they say it with such conviction. And Stephen A. Smith says his things with such conviction, and he's always wrong, but he'll say the next thing with equally as much conviction, and he just got an $11 million a year contract with ESPN. So again, I said this last week, I'll say it again, that's where I've gone wrong in this business. I just need to make things up off the top of my head, but say them with conviction the way Stephen A. does, and then people might believe me. And then when I'm wrong, if I say the next thing with even more conviction, they'll be likely to believe me again and again and again and again. And maybe I, too, can collect $11 million a year for making things up as I go along. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. And real quick before I get to the calls, I just want to say this. So on ESPN tonight, not the local version, but on ESPN, there's an article here about the Celtics and Kyrie Irving as a whole, right? And it says that Kyrie Irving finally has his playoff moment for the Celtics. And the premise of the article is, when you have Kyrie Irving as a member of your team, when he is a member of your organization, it comes with a lot of BS. It comes with a lot of baggage. It comes with a lot of crap that a lot of teams, a lot of people don't want to deal with. So the question becomes, is it worth it? Now, we saw tonight the best of Kyrie Irving. We saw Kyrie Irving go off for 37 points and carry the Celtics in an ugly offensive game. Without Kyrie Irving, the Celtics lose by double figures tonight, right? So we saw exactly what Kyrie Irving does and does better than just about anybody in the NBA. Completely carry his team, put his team on his shoulders. Exactly what he did for the Cleveland Cavaliers when he played alongside LeBron James. LeBron gets all the attention. LeBron gets all the praise. LeBron gets all the accolades. But without Kyrie Irving, LeBron doesn't even sniff the lone championship that he got with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And it says here, you know, at times it would seem fair for one to wonder if it was all worth it. Wednesday night, though, provided the answer to anybody who still wasn't sure. Of course it was. And I don't think it's that cut and dry. I don't think it's that black and white. You know, is it worth it? Are all the headaches worth it? Is all the BS that Celtics fans went through this year worth it? Is the decline in ratings by 24% worth it? Is the Celtics as an organization, the Celtics as a whole, being considered a front-running organization, is it worth it for Kyrie Irving to come in and win you a couple of playoff games on your home floor in the first round of the playoffs? No. I feel like they asked this question and they posed this article far too early. It's only April. If this were mid to late May and they came out with this premise and this was the premise of their article on ESPN to ask, is it worth it? That's the time to ask the question. That's the time to really weigh whether Kyrie Irving and all the baggage that comes along with having Kyrie Irving as your franchise player is worth it. Because if the Celtics are playing in the conference finals with this imperfect bunch of players that they've been all year, with this up and down seesaw of a season that it's been all year, if Kyrie Irving's able to elevate this team and get you back to the conference finals and give this team an opportunity, give them a chance, give them a shot to get to the NBA finals, and they get there on his back, that's when you ask this question. But to ask this question and pose this question right now, two games into the playoffs, with two home wins against a broken Pacers team, that to me seems like it reeks of desperation. It's a little too premature to ask that question, isn't it? Anyway, so it is Sports Radio. WEI room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Dan Dance and Waltham. Dan, you're next up here on WEI.
Thank you, sir. How are you, sir?
Oh, Dan, I am living the dream, Dan. How are you, man?
I'm loving it. I'm loving the hoops. I do. I'm stressed out with Kyrie on the team. I go from, like, loving him to not loving him.
Dan, you and everybody else, brother. It's not just you. It's all of us.
I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but who's the number one guy for Oklahoma City?
Russell Westbrook.
Exactly. I used to not love him. I love him so much. I would love him to be our Kyrie.
Well, and, the difference between the two
is,
you know, Russell Westbrook has an equally strange attitude, the way that Kyrie Irving can be, you know, hot and cold, but Russell Westbrook goes balls to the wall and gives you 100% effort from game one of the preseason all the way through the playoffs.
I agree.
You know, Kyrie takes games off, man.
I concur, and it's frustrating as a Boston fan. And I get frustrated. I'll cut myself off. But honestly, I really am not a big Kyrie fan. I'm just not.
So would you be comfortable if he was suiting up for the Knicks next year?
I'd be more than comfortable.
See, and that's amazing. Listen, I appreciate the phone call. That's amazing to me. Think about that for a minute. Think about what you're saying, and I can't strongly disagree with you. That's the thing here. I have never, and I've covered this team, this is year 19 covering the Boston Celtics, you know, and laugh all you want, but 19 years covering this team. And the first 12 years, I covered them intimately. I covered them on a day-in and day-out basis. I wrote for the Daily Item of Lynn. I wrote for the old Boston Metro. I was on ESPN Boston. I did the Celtics pre-post halftime show on their flagship radio station before they came back to EEI. So I've been around this team for years. And I have never seen a player in all my years of covering this team that is a consensus top 10, top 15 player in the NBA and not been sure whether we want him here. Like, the fight is always, how do you get that guy? How do you get a top 10 player? How do you get that transformative talent? Who do you trade for it? How many first-round picks? You know, and it takes years of drafting correctly and then developing those guys correctly. Remember, in order for the Celtics to get Kevin Garnett here, right? Forgetting the fact that they had to draft at number five and get Jeff Green and then flip Jeff Green for Ray Allen, forgetting that part of it, to even tempt the Minnesota Timberwolves into trading Kevin Garnett to the Celtics, they had to draft Al Jefferson and then spend a few years grooming him and turning him into one of the top young NBA prospect big men. And by the time the Celtics traded him, he was a legitimate double-double machine, averaging 18 points a game. Tommy Heinsohn went on the broadcast the night before the Celtics traded him away and declared that he didn't want the Celtics to trade Al Jefferson for Kevin Garnett. The two nights before the Celtics traded Al Jefferson for Kevin Garnett, I was on NBC Sports Boston. I was on, it used to be called Boston Sports Tonight, with Greg Dickerson and Gary Tangway. And I got into a shouting match on live TV with Greg Dickerson because Greg was telling me that you absolutely do not trade a young Al Jefferson, a budding young star, for a 31-year-old Kevin Garnett. You don't do it, right? But ultimately, that changed the course of this franchise. But people don't seem to understand. To get a transformative talent, to get a consensus top 10, top 15 player, you can't just snap your fingers, especially when you don't have cap space. And especially when you're not Miami, you're not New York, you're not Los Angeles, where guys are clamoring to get to those places and angling to get to those places. If you're a team like the Celtics, you need to not only draft correctly, you then need to invest 3-4 years into developing and grooming that player and hoping that you're able to take that young player and then flip them in a trade for your transformative talent. The Celtics, they've got that guy, and we're not sure as fans whether we want to keep him around here or not. I have never, ever seen a top 10 player play for the Celtics and fans be so undecided whether they want him here or not. It's a strange, strange phenomenon when it comes to Kyrie Irving. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. Let's grab one more here. Let's go to Master IC. Master is in the car. Master, are you Ubering tonight, my friend?
I'm off the clock. Peace, Patrick. Peace to the human family. Segue, because you touched on two things in the last diatribe that you had. The first one was Stephen A. Smith, and you comparing these local journalists to making these assertions, if you will. Big word. And, you know, talking about they feel like he's going to be with the Knicks next year. Listen, if you believe that Stephen A. Smith earned his money off of being conflated, then you shouldn't put it past these local journalists. Secondly, Kevin Garnett, you talk about Kyrie being the leader of this team. Maybe he's not the leader. Kevin Garnett was the leader of the team. He wasn't the highest point scorer. He wasn't the best player on the team, but he was the leader. And I think that Kyrie falls into the mold of a Paul Pierce, that I don't think Paul Pierce was the leader when it came to that championship.
He wasn't. When you go back to Paul's early days when the Celtics made that one run to the conference finals, Antoine Walker was not the player that Paul Pierce was, but Antoine was the leader of that team. And then you go back to 2008 and that group of Celtics, you're absolutely right. You know, Kevin Garnett was the leader. He was the go-to guy in the locker room. He was the emotional leader, the guy that held everybody in check, but he wasn't the team's best player.
So when we talk about the emotional aspect of this, I think people are just too emotional right now. The other night I spoke to Joe, and I mentioned to him that the old NBA, the old guard of the NBA, of basketball, don't agree with today's NBA. But you have to understand, the money has changed the game. So maybe Kyrie, as talented as he is maybe this is mostly business for him. So you asked the question, would I be disappointed with him going to the Knicks, right? I would be disappointed, absolutely. I would be it would be like, damn, we lost out on a good talent. But at the same time, I understand what today's NBA is.
But here's the thing, Master. You know, if you're going to do that, if you're going to skip out and go to the Knicks, Kyrie is a businessman. That's what you said. And you know what these guys are because of the money involved. They also know that the team's really, their future hinges on the decisions that they make. So I think that as a policy of good business, then it's up to Kyrie Irving not to declare to everybody, not once but twice, that he's sticking around here, not to give Danny Ainge the impression that he's sticking around here, and then to go back on his word, because when you do that, you set the fortune of a franchise back by half a dozen years because you changed your mind. You know what I mean? So just don't say it, if he never said it in the first place, if he never said, I'm here for the long haul in the first place, I would have no problem with him going to the Knicks. But because he did that, I have a problem.
I understand what you're saying, but I think that it's a dog eat world, you know, when it comes to this level of money, and that's what makes the business move the way it does. I think he's just playing the game, man. So I don't take it personal. I try to separate the emotion, and I try to think about it logically.
The good news is, Master, if it is about the money, if it really is about the money, the Celtics can pay him $70 million more than the Knicks can. Or than anybody else can. So if it really is all about the money, then he's staying here.
But when I talk about all about the money, I'm not saying that there's a difference between five. I'm not talking about a difference of $5 million, $30 million versus $35. I'm talking about the fact that the money has sullied the substance of the idea of loving the game, loving to play the game, and being willing to sacrifice the money over it.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm not saying that he's looking for more money from another team. I'm just saying that he's in it for the business. He's like, I can make a whole bunch of money. And when we talk about multiple millions of dollars, the difference between $30 million and $35 million a year, that's negligible. Let's be real life about this, because we try to analyze and understand the psyche of some of these athletes. But the truth of the matter is, we ultimately can't, because we will never be in a position where we have the option of making $30 million a year.
Well, I think you know, once upon a time, the motivation for these guys was absolutely hands down, no questions asked, to win a championship. And if you win one, you want to come back with the same group and do it again. And now that might not be the universal motivation. You know what I mean?
Right. I think the motivation was playing ball.
Yep.
And that's not what it is anymore. May I also say, this was not a segue. you wrote for the item?
I wrote for the item for a few years. Yep, I covered uh-huh. I covered them from 2006 to 2009. So I wrote for them through the championship.
That's cool, man. That's cool that you came through the town and you did what you did there.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I'm with you as far as the Celtics are going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm with that idea. I've been saying it all year. I'm like, yo, hold tight. It's about shortening the bench. Actually, as far as shortening the bench, how long has Brad's bench been through these previous games?
He's gone about nine deep, but I think that the injury to Marcus Smart has helped him shorten the bench as well. You know what I mean?
Okay. And I think ultimately that goes towards my point and our belief in that these Celtics are going to go deep into these playoffs. And they're going to be good, man. They're going to face their competition. They're going to have to step up. And you know what? I think it counts. You mentioned earlier, they didn't step up offensively, but they did step up. They stepped up defensively, and I think that counts. And I think that's something that we should pay attention to as far as their improvement for these playoffs.
You're absolutely right, Master. I'm up against it. I appreciate the phone call, and I'm back here again for a full 4 hours tomorrow night. So I'll give you as much time as you want tomorrow night. Tonight, I got the clock up against me. So listen, but you're right. The one thing that has sort of alienated this Celtics team and escaped this Celtics team all season long has been the ability to do anything consistently, whether it's offense, whether it's defense, whether it's have the right attitude. They just have been an inconsistent, fickle bunch from start to finish all season long. Through the first two games of the playoffs, we have seen a consistent effort on the defensive end. So if you're looking for silver linings here and you're looking for reasons for optimism, this team was originally formed and grounded in a great defensive effort. That is what Brad Stevens brought here. And from year one through the end of last year, they were one of the best, if not the best, defensive teams in the NBA. This year, they took multiple steps back in that direction. They still had the talent. They didn't have the desire. Through two games in the NBA playoffs, they have reverted back to being the premier defensive team in the NBA. We'll see if they can take that show on the road on Friday. It is a sports radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. When we come back, we'll wrap this thing up right here on WEI.
Do you ever dream of that? And what does it mean to you to just watch this whole dynasty unfold and really now twice with three and then three again?
Well, I'll be very frank. I wanted to win one. When I bought the team, I promised the fans, I said, my objective is to win one. And I asked them, we hadn't sold out in 34 years. So I asked them to buy tickets. They did their part. We've had every preseason, regular season game sold out. But when you win a Super Bowl, I don't have an addictive personality, but I do have it. For that. So, once you taste it, man, you want to keep it going.
It's perfect. A, he doesn't have an addictive personality, but he went to the spa not once but twice in 18 hours. And he tasted it the first time, and he wanted to keep it going the second time at his sports radio. WEI, Robert Kraft right there. And look, sure, take the sound out of context, but it's funny, right? Robert Kraft had just a crazy day. If you're Robert Kraft and you're doing everything in your power, and I don't blame him, by the way, he's spending big, big money trying to make sure that that evidence, that tape stays hidden, stays suppressed, never makes its way out into the public. Because there's some scary, scary ramifications if that thing makes its way public that go well beyond the embarrassment of dick pics that are going to be out there. I mean, 77-year-old dick pics probably aren't what people are looking for. I'm sure that's not what Alex Reamer's looking for when he goes on his weekend vacations. But I'll tell you what. The scary part here is, speaking of Reamer, Reamer wrote about this on WEI.com today, and he's right in one regard. You know, he's talking about the injustice here. If this thing makes its way public. And he's right when you look at Florida law and you look at the precedent that's been set and then you look at the way that the law was sort of rewritten after 9/11 that allows the federal government sort of carte blanche to do whatever they want when it comes to their ability to more or less spy on people. They can do whatever they want because of the Patriot Act, because of 9/11. And in this case, it's clearly, in my opinion, an abuse of power. The moment that they declared, and it's been officially declared, that there will be zero trafficking charges here, zero human trafficking charges, then that should eliminate the tape, shouldn't it? If the tape was only put in, if the video evidence was only, if the recording device was only put in because they were trying to prevent human trafficking, then that's one thing. But now that they've determined that human trafficking is not taking place here, this is not the place where they should be putting the recording device, putting the recording equipment to try and sort of nab these people that are guilty of a horrendous, a heinous crime of human trafficking. That's not what's going down here. So instead, you've got a couple hundred men over the course of, you know, 2 months, essentially, that have gone in and out of this spa that are at risk of having their dick pics put out there and being uploaded on YouPorn and Pornhub and, you know, being all over the internet. And for Robert Kraft, you know, being on TMZ. And whether they sort of blur it out or not, we'll all know what's going on, right? And that's very, 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 very embarrassing. But what's scary here for Patriots fans, forgetting the personal embarrassment that Robert Kraft will suffer and the damage to his brand and his reputation. And really, I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum when it comes to like Ray Rice and when it comes to other NFL players that are guilty of hitting women or hitting children. You know, it's one thing to sit here and do the trending and to read that, oh, Ray Rice, he was arrested today, accused of domestic violence. That's impactful, but it doesn't have nearly the same impact as the visual when we see the video evidence. Once we see the video evidence, punishments always become worse. You know, ramifications always become much more severe, right? Because we're a visual people. In this day and age that we live in, of instant gratification, of video being available literally in seconds in the palm of your hand, you know, long gone are the days of, you know, when a video comes out on tape and going down to the rental store and renting a video cassette, driving it home, putting it in your VCR. It's a process that would take hours, if not days, to watch a video. If I decided I want to watch a movie right now, I could start watching it in 3 seconds on my phone. Same thing's going to happen with Robert Kraft and his video and his dick pics. But the scary part, Reamer touched on it very briefly, and we'll do more on this tomorrow night. But he compared what's happening to Robert Kraft to what happened to Donald Sterling. Because Donald Sterling didn't know he was being recorded, and he was recorded using incredibly violent, racist terms. But when that recording went public, he was forced to sell the Clippers. I mean, that wasn't right. He didn't know he was being recorded, and it cost him his franchise. If this video comes out, there is a chance that Robert Kraft is going to lose the New England Patriots. We'll talk about that tomorrow night because it's a discussion we need to have. We are very close today, very close to that video becoming public, and it still may by the end of April. We could be having a discussion here sometime in May about the likelihood of Robert Kraft having to sell the Patriots because of the irreparable damage that's been done to himself, his brand, and ultimately the brand of the New England Patriots by the release of this video. My name is Patrick Gilroy. You guys want to stay tuned. SB Nation Radio, that comes your way next. I'm back here again for late night tomorrow night, 10 to 2. Josue Pavone, he will join me tomorrow night live from Indianapolis. Until then, talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.